Okay, are you ready? You ready to dig deep in God's Word today? I hope you are. Let's go ahead and, I don't know why I have you guys sit down, you know, because you're going to stand back up real quick. Do it again, ready? Come on, stand up and give me 20. That's awesome stuff. I love it. Well, you got your Bibles. You got to see some words on the screen. Today we're going to talk about the casual customized church. And I sent out some texts you guys got, and some of you guys going, I wonder what that is. Well, you're going to find out just a little bit what I'm talking about, and you're going to laugh sometimes throughout this whole thing, because we're going to have a couple of videos I want to show you just to make some points, you know, and it's kind of, we're going to play on a few things, but we're really also going to dig deep in Acts chapter 2 here in just a little bit. But are you ready to say these words with me like you do it each and every day? I hope you do. Ready? This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, hide his words in my heart, that I may not sin against God. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. It's on the screen as well. If you just want to look at the screen and follow along, that's fine. If you have a phone, whatever you want to do, you can do that as well. But here's what it says. It says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Wow. That's awesome, isn't it? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Oh, love it. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. You guys may be seated. All right, guys. I could be possibly today going extremely fast. All right. But there's some things on. If you're taking notes, write it down fast. But I'll try to do my best to get you out of here before midnight. All right. So, you in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, you had the saved, those who accepted the message, they were baptized, then 3,000 were added to them, right, that day. They devoted themselves to what? What does Scripture say? Now, the key word, I talked about this before, is the word what? I just said it. Starts with a D. Say it. Devoted. Listen, devoted. They devoted themselves to this. So what are they devoted? What did they devote themselves to? Well, let's look at it. To the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, to helping others around them that had need. Every day they met together in the what? Temple. They broke bread together from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude. They praised God. They had favor with all people. And every day the Lord added to them those that were being saved. Now, to me, that's awesome. Right there. I love it. Then those that were added, they were saved. Sounds good, doesn't it? When you look at this Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, it looks good, doesn't it? It sounds good, doesn't it? Well, until you get to the point of everyday meeting together. You know, we limit that, don't we, in our modern day society to what? Probably 2 days out of the week, right? So we don't do that every day. And we might throw in maybe another day for some special event that we want to hold, like we'll put a Sunday night together just to have some potluck and fellowship. Might do a communion. Or we might do a chili cook-off or something like that to bring more people in. But we don't meet every day like the first church did. So I'm not sure we break bread together from house to house too well. You know, I think that's true. We could do a better job of doing that. We messed up the favor, I think, with all people due to a lot of church splits in our society. So, what changed since the first church? What happened since the day this was coined together, Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47? What has taken place? You know, over the past few decades, I've got to confess to you, popular Christianity has become somewhat of a perplexing thing to me. And I know probably to some of you guys, it's as well. You know, I keep trying to discover or comprehend what it is that has gotten so weird about the postmodern church age that basically I find myself a little confused as to what to do next, where to go from here. How do we really look at Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47 and apply it in today's world? You know, it seems like some people have written books over it attempting to define it, right? Or at the very least try to tell you how to live it out. And I think those people that come up with those books and all that, I think probably authentically it seems like they're trying to live it out. It seems like they're trying to figure it out, just like some of you guys are. No, if not most all of you are, like I am. You know, this thinking, of course, led me to see and read tons of information just on these passages of Scripture. You know, a certain word came to my mind, and the word I'm about to say, you've already saw it on there, is not unique, and it's not new, or even a word I made up, and it's not going to be in my personal dictionary. Pretty much, you guys, if you've been here quite a while, you know what my personal dictionary is made up of. It's words that's not even in the dictionary. But as I was contemplating this church age, you know, the word casual came to mind, all right? It came to my mind, and since that word came to my mind, I sought to look it up, and here's what I found when you look up the word casual. Casual has a range of meaning. In the New Oxford Dictionary, the primary definition of casual is relaxed or unconcerned, made or done without much thought or premeditation, done or acting without sufficient care or thoroughness. Another meaning is without formality of style, manner, or procedure, in particular of a social event, not characterized by social conventions, relaxed and friendly. Note the word a lot of times in what I'm saying here. Starts with an R. It's relaxed in both definitions. Now, it may be it may well be a good thing to be relaxed and friendly, but not so good to do things without sufficient care or thoroughness as well. So, customized. Casual, customized. Putting those words together. When you look at the word customized, modified to suit, now listen carefully, modified to suit a particular individual or task. Now put those two words together, all right? Casual, customized, all right? Casual and customized. What type of church would that be? Well, if you go to the definition, it says a church that is relaxed or unconcerned and modified to suit the customer's wants. Notice I didn't say the customer's needs, because in our modern day church culture, it's a lot of times about the personal wants and desires and not coming from God's word. Well, those definitions sparked more of an interest in what people said about it in their local church. And if you ask someone, the answers would probably widely range based upon the age of the person you ask. I'm sure if you ask this generation what that means, it would be one thing. And if you go back all the way to Sam McCauley's age, it might be a little bit different. My middle age kind of thing would be a little bit different, you know, because we're all trying to coin that phrase or what it is. But I came across this video the other day, and it was talking about a casual, customized church. If you guys would turn the house lights down and let these people see the video, turn the volume up on it, I want you to look at this drive-through video. Hopefully. Can you get those words, Leo?
So you want to attend church this Sunday, but you don't feel like dressing up or leaving your dog at home or even getting out of your car. If you're near Daytona Beach, Florida, your prayers have been answered.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this your first time here?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to Drive-In Christian Church.
How long have you been coming to the Drive-In Church?
About 5 years. I became very ill and could not be around people and go to my regular church. Started coming here. My husband and I love it, and we've been here ever since.
What else makes it preferable to a regular church, you think?
You don't have to dress up fancy.
You got your turtle sweater on today.
Yes, I do. Yes, yeah. Indeedy.
And this is more comfortable than a pew, right?
Yes, it is. And if you get up late and you want to just run a t-shirt and shorts and come to church, you can do it.
It's so convenient. We live next door and we drove over. How about that? We could have just turned.
You're devout and lazy.
I guess we just turned on the radio at the house. We probably could have caught it and stayed in bed.
You tune in a certain station to hear the service, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You don't get those speakers like they do in a drive-in movie. So, did you ever go to a drive-in movie and say, "I wish this was a church"? No.
No, that never happened. As a matter of fact, I've been to drive-in movies and prayed it wasn't a church.
Anybody can take communion.
How does communion work? You got a little cup there.
Cup with the bread.
That's a very little piece of bread. That's not going to be enough for breakfast, is it?
Enough for breakfast.
Is that real wine?
No.
No, you're just safer in case people that can't have alcohol.
You can't drink and drive, for God's
sake. No.
What does that bell mean?
It means the service is about to start.
As we come, we are so grateful for the love and the care that we feel from our Lord in this place. But we also have a responsibility to share each other's burdens and to lift them to the Lord together.
Pastor Bob, how long has this church been around?
63 years this year. We started out in the early 1950s when this was still an operating drive-in movie theater as well. So they'd be showing the movies on Saturday nights and then getting here early Sunday morning to set up for worship. I think what brings people here more and more is just this opportunity to be in an outdoor setting to worship God.
Yeah, and those chairs are more comfortable than the pews, right?
Well, when you can bring your own chair with you, that's pretty sweet. They bring their own sound system with them, too, and their own air conditioning.
Right.
You see, an $800 million Powerball will rally the faithful, won't it? And maybe even the skeptics alike. Let us sing together.
What does the honking mean? Just sort of approval?
Clapping.
It's kind of clapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice tradition, I guess. Yeah.
I guess neighbors don't care for it, I guess.
We'll promise.
The sunglasses, you're the coolest pastor I've ever seen. You're also the only pastor that I bet gets honked at the end of your sermon.
Depends on whether other pastors have walked out into the street when they shouldn't have after they leave church.
Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life.
Now you must admit, in this
Bring
season
on,
of
brother.
Football,
Gone on
you...
Before.
Might have expected to hear that song this morning. That was Bobby Bear singing his classic hit, Drop Kick Me, Jesus. College football national championship will be tomorrow. NFL playoffs have begun this weekend. We're in the midst of college and NBA basketball coming into its prime time of the season. Soon to follow our new American thrill that has been thrilling the world for decades now, MLS soccer. Let God have the upper hand.
I think they got it. I think that's what we're going to start doing, right? Put a big screen out front of the parking lot. Everybody come in, and we'll just honk for Jesus, right? You know, if you were to ask me, I've seen a lot of churches go from really like Acts chapter 2. If you think about Acts chapter 2, what it really looked like, from God-centered to man-centered. Think about it. Typically, the atmosphere is geared toward worldly things such as, you know, you have certain taste. Seating that leans back with, you know, kind of like movie theaters, and some churches, buildings have, you know, those seats that lean back, high backs, you can rest your head, have a cup holder right there for your cup of joe, right? Music has a worldly taste. Pretty much what is heard on the radio and the top 10 songs are always played, even when some of them are not theologically truthful. The lighting sometimes is geared towards worldly taste. Sometimes the messages are geared to worldly taste. The methods are geared to worldly taste. You know, they will have a lot of cool visual aids, maybe some fog and maybe some special lights. And sadly, those that call themselves pastors, they are geared to appeal to worldly lifestyles. If you're not, I came across this word the other day. Leah, we had to look this up. Have you heard of the word metrosexual? Raise your hand if you've heard of the word metrosexual. Well, I'd never heard of that word, but apparently there's a word out there, and if you're not metrosexual enough in this postmodern age of church life, then you aren't basically what that's saying. You're not hip enough. You're not cool enough. You don't dress the part of this current church age. So we actually came across a minister that actually did not, I think, lost his job because he wasn't metrosexual enough for their community. You know, I've known guys that have, literally, guys, I've known guys that have had three different types of services: traditional, contemporary, and liturgical. You know what I mean by liturgical? More of a Catholicism kind of thing, you know, that kind of thing, ritual kind of thing. The same guy would preach them all, and maybe the message maybe just changed a little bit, maybe a little bit better PowerPoint slide presentation, right? Or none at all in the liturgical church. You wouldn't want to have PowerPoint in that thing. He would change clothes. Actually, he told me this. He would change clothes for each one. Well, in the liturgical one, he would actually just wear a robe over what he had, you know, so he didn't have to change there. And, of course, the music had to change for each one. Sure, wouldn't want to play a classic hymn for a contemporary service or a contemporary song for the liturgical or even the traditional one, for that matter, would you? You might get some confused, maybe, just confused, and they go, oh, did I come to the wrong service? Because I didn't know that song was played here. Or maybe they'll just get upset, right? They maybe get so upset, and they just might not come back because they didn't like a certain song or someone singing that song set. And it doesn't take much for someone to be offended in this generation that we live in. At the drop of the hat, somebody could get offended really easily. Some are looking for any excuse to get out of the church life. You know, as a matter of fact, some things I am saying today will more than likely offend maybe one of you, and you won't come back, right? It's very possible. I've offended some people before. I will never do that intentionally or maliciously, but sometimes my big mouth opens up and I spew things out, and that's when I go back at the end of the day and I evaluate what I say, or if some of you guys don't tell me I did that, then I never can go back and correct something I messed up on. And oh yeah, you know, you sure don't want to overdo it with the hand-raising thing. Woo, you got to watch that, or the clapping, and at least in two of these types of services, you don't want to do that at all. You'll throw somebody off really bad. But if you want to raise your hand, you might be interested in this video that I came across. Most of you guys saw this. It's a Tim Hawkins video about how you might want to practice this before you begin. Let's turn the house lights down again. And Caleb, would you start the video, Tim Hawkins video?
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar and go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village People, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set. You're a pro.
So that's just a little play on that. But in a sense, that is almost reality that's in a lot of churches today. Some people might feel comfortable doing this, or that, whatever, right? Some people might be doing this. Some people might be doing this. Some people might be just doing this. That's okay. You shouldn't be worried about the person sitting next to you. You should be worried about what you look like before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, on this clapping thing, now, I've got to be honest with you. If you want to clap, that's fine. But clap on the beat, please, you white people. All right? I'm not much of a clapper because I like hearing what's being sung, and it drives me just nuts, like I said, for some people that can't keep a beat, you know? And it's also annoying when someone's clapping behind you. It's kind of like going to the football game, and they want to make it known that you should be clapping with them, and they... And man, that just like, and your ears are just like ringing. It's like the cowbell at the game, you know, and I always sit in that designated spot, and I don't know where to move at the game because somebody just rings that bell all the time, and it gives me a headache. But that, you know what I'm saying? So clap if you want to clap. Don't clap if you don't want to clap. But you know who you're clapping for, right? It's not me. It's not me the reason you clap. It's not the musicians you clap for. You're praising Jesus with your hands that he's given you to be able to clap with. So hallelujah, be able to use them in freedom. The Bible talks about that. Paul talks about the freedom in Christ, right? So you can do that if you want. Just clap on beat. So, you know, there are times I just stand there, be honest with you, and not sing. This is me, to let you know a little bit more who I am. Sometimes I just like listening. I like listen to the words of the song. And to be honest, there are times when we've had basically on Sunday morning a lot of things go wrong, and I'm trying to get my mind and heart where it needs to be able to preach God's word effectively so more of you guys could possibly stay awake on a Sunday morning. You know, I'm sure some of you have come off a week or even this very day, this morning, with things on your heart, with things on your mind that are pretty heavy, that entangle you in everyday muck of life. You know, you have a hard time, possibly, even on a Sunday morning, coming and being prepared to worship God. And talking about the word prepare, some even don't even do that. Some of you guys don't even prepare your hearts to worship God. You just show up because that's what you've done for a while, and now it just seems just all natural, and it's just a casual thing we do. You know, like it or not, the reason behind having two or three different styles of services is to appeal to the two or three different kinds of people. Typically, the ones making the decisions know that most older saints will not tolerate a contemporary style of service, and the younger crowd will not attend a traditional style of service, typically, in general, not all. Guys, there are church bodies just basically wrapped up in a different kind of paper in a nice little bow on top, but they still call themselves a church. We can't even get the younger and older together to have fellowship and to do recreational things together. The younger crowd says that's boring, and the older crowd says it's too noisy. We tried to have a meal a few months back, and the youth sat with their bunch, and the older generation sat with their bunch. Rarely intermingling came through, or some didn't show up because it just wasn't appealing to them. So much about looking like the first church. So much about breaking bread together, and even here, if we can't break bread together here, how do we expect to break bread in somebody else's home? You know, I've seen over the years, now, when I say these words, I want you to understand me closely and listen. I think for the most part, not all, because there's some whacked out people out there, all right? But I think a lot of these guys are just like me. They're trying to feed their flock. They're trying to get people here. They're trying to live the kingdom life daily. They're trying to figure out their place in this world. They're trying to lead others to the throne of Jesus Christ. They're trying to do all these things. They're trying not to hurt anybody's heart during the process. But I've seen over the years the churches that wanted to be there's churches out there that say, hey, we want to be a church for all people. What does that mean? What does that really mean? You have churches that want to be, well, we want to be the seeker-sensitive church. We want to be the emergent church. Well, what is that? What do those terminologies really mean? You know, churches that say, come just as you are. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean a heart thing? Let your heart come as you are? Or does it mean just a casual thing? Are we talking about clothing? Or are we talking about both the heart and the clothing when we say come as you are? You know, I'm sure if a church was having services on beachfront property, I guess bikinis or thongs might be accepted, right? Very possibly. Hey, and there could be a church body that probably does those things. I don't know. And I'm not just talking about women wearing those. How about some guys wearing some thongs, right? Guys wear thongs on beach at the beach, right? Don't they? If you've ever gone to Florida, you might see some of that kind of stuff. Not very appealing. You know, we could actually play the thong song and attempt to draw a bigger crowd just because we play that song and people can wear their bikinis and thongs, right? I'm not going to do that. Easy. Breathe in and breathe out. More than likely, like I said, there could be one that does. You know, some will say, let's do what is necessary to attract, then eventually maybe some of those people will become Christians and start doing what we think church is or does. I guess we would have to ask the question this, and we've asked this on Wednesday night on our Bible studies before, does any means justify the end? Does any means justify the end? Meaning, do what it takes to get someone saved. Listen carefully. Ask yourself that question. Do whatever it takes, whatever means to get someone saved. Do we give them bad theology? Do we give them bad theology? If you didn't hear my message on all things to all people, based out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, go back on our website, listen to what I said, what Paul meant, all things to all people. You'll understand that, what that looks like a little bit better. Guys, there are churches out there that people either leave before the preaching begins because they don't like what he has to say, or comes in just for the preaching because they don't like the music before. So you got some coming in, some leaving, some going, some staying, whatever. There are some who come in after meet and greet because they don't like to shake hands and hug necks, right? I get that. Possibly germophobic or simply not their cup of tea, right? However, far too often, people drop out of church simply because they want to do something else. People may say they found church boring, or people haven't seemed too friendly, or it's become a meaningless routine, while in all reality, they simply don't want to attend at all. Guys, if we apply the standards of these movements to evaluate Jesus' ministry, we get some interesting results if you would pay attention to this. The problem is when you stop and really listen to what some of these churches are doing and what is being preached is mostly man-centered. It's humankind-centered. It's not God-centered. It's what mankind wants. And don't forget, let me tell you this. Jesus didn't teach fluff. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't teach fluff. As a matter of fact, at one time, Jesus was preaching to thousands of people, and he clearly offends nearly all those that heard him, and they desert him. And in John chapter 6, verse 66, write it down. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And if you look at it, if you do word study on this, the Greek words in this verse mean they left and never came back. That was amen in today's current technology. Guys, if we think we can do anything and call it worship, let me ask you this. If we think we can just do anything, all right, and call it worship and have God's power, presence, and his blessing, we do not know our Bibles. And honestly, it may be possible for some churches, guys, in our culture, to go right on without God's power, without God's presence, without God's blessing, because it was not built upon the Word of God in the first place. It was built upon man. And when it's built upon man, you can only go so far. Or maybe one time the lampstand was there. And maybe they didn't read chapter 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation about where Christ, God Almighty himself, can remove his presence from that church. So, what do we do? What do we do with everything that I just said, and we go back to Acts chapter 2? You know, this is not a new problem. Believers in the New Testament times were urged to strengthen each other spiritually, not giving up meeting together. Listen closely, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Hebrews chapter 10. Guys, a casual approach to Christ always leads to a casual approach to church. Write it down. A casual approach to Christ always leads to a casual approach to church. Now, let me stop right there before I go on with any of my other words. How many of us, in all reality, for the last 6 days before we came here, have had casual Christianity? Think about it. Don't raise your hand, you know. Guys, in all honesty, there's some weeks that I have done that. And I beat myself over that up hard. I know I don't want to approach this casually and customize it to my liking. And I sure don't want to be a church that forgets about their first love. Right? Like I talked about a few weeks ago. I don't want to be a lukewarm church either, because I don't want Christ to spew us out of his mouth. Some translations say the word vomit. Right? Because it makes him sick. So how do we look as a church? How do we look as a church, or to become better in living out life together like the early church did? You know, I don't, and to be honest with you guys, I don't have all the answers to that. All I can do is go back to Acts chapter 2 and see what these guys did and do my very best to try to live it out and apply it today with the body of believers that want to do the same thing. It's called unity. It's living life together, okay? But I'll tell you what, I'm standing before you as a simple man with a beautiful and marvelous and great plan. And sometimes I struggle knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, how to reach more people, what to offer, what not to offer, what to sing, what not to sing, what to preach, not what to preach. Not talking about all the other methodologies that I could probably come up with to have some kind of fanfare that might draw a bigger crowd unto Christ. Because when I look back at God's word is what brings people to Christ. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes by what? It comes by the word of God that no man can boast. That's where it comes from, and that's what I got to go back to. That's what I got to go back to. I do know this. Guys, like I said, I do know this. Based upon what we read this morning, and I think this is on the screen, we should be truly loving God. If you're taking notes, write that down. Truly loving God. You know, for the past several years, we sure have developed a few people just like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. That we attempt to put the external, the outward action before the inner heart change. It's all the outward stuff that matters. The inward stuff doesn't matter, but the outward stuff does, if you know what I mean. They place all the focus on what they do, what they look like, rather than who they actually are on the inside. And Christ knew them. Christ knows you. He knows your heart. No one, guys, listen to me. You and I, we do not fool God. Not at all. He knows your heart. Unless the love for God is our motivation, all this outward display of goodness, guys, it will result in the pride and at times legalism in life. You see, neither of these things please God. It really comes down to totally, here's that word totally, surrendering to Him. His Holy Spirit then empowers us to love and serve Him for the right heart motive. It has to be the right heart kind of motive. When you have true service, you know the kind that doesn't say, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing, right? And when you have true holiness, this simply is the outworking of the Spirit, the overflowing of a life dedicated for the glory of God and not mankind. We should be focusing on loving God and loving each other for what? Don't you think God said this? What's the two greatest commandments? Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and doing what? Loving the neighbor as yourself. I can see clearly the Acts chapter 2 church doing that. Guys, if we skip the relationship, our service is of no use and it benefits nothing. Does that make sense? So, we should be truly loving God. Here's another thing, based upon Scripture, and here's what I know. We should be devoted to attend services and to be devoted to the teachings. Every day they met together in the temple, it says. Now, just think, if you had to meet every day in this area, could you do it? My friends, we can't even have a 5-day revival. Nobody shows up. We barely can even have a 3-1 this generation. But think about that. That's what they did in the early church. They met every day together. How crazy is that? I don't know. Maybe they didn't work as hard as some of you guys do. I don't know. And I put myself right there. Could I do it every day? I don't know. But they did. Be devoted to the teachings you hear. The first devotion mentioned was to the apostles' teaching. Guys, this is where I think our priority should be. And like, if you're like me, sometimes those priorities just get messed up. They get messed up in the muck of life. They just do. The apostles' teaching is the teaching concerning who? It concerns Jesus Christ and His ways. And for this reason, we should want everything we do together as a church to do this. We should want everything we do together as a church to be word saturated and also gospel centered. Right? Everything we should do should go back to the word of God. Why? Because God created us by His very word. God created by His very word back in Genesis 1. He gave His word so people could know Him. He spoke His word through the prophets, when you look at the Old Testament. And in these last days, He spoke through His Son, Jesus, right? Where the Word then became flesh, and He lived among us. That was Jesus. God has brought us forth by the word, and we are to receive the word that has been implanted in us. Guys, this is no accident. This is no accident then that the leadership of the church preaches the true word of God. And I want to encourage all of us to be word saturated. We need to be gospel-centered people and take advantage of the ministries that IBC has to offer. Okay, here's another thing based upon scripture. We should be fellowshipping, breaking bread together, and praying together. This doesn't take much explanation, does it? Besides, we don't do this as often as we should. I don't do this often as I should. You know, blame it on this, blame it on that. But probably could use more fellowship, probably could be more sharing meals with one another, and most definitely, we could be praying together more often. You know, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out that even if a family doesn't do this, they will start just coexisting together, right? Casualness of life and nothing else. Eventually, they will drift apart. They will fall apart. So let me tell you this. A church that doesn't fellowship together, that listens to the teachings of one another, to their pastor, to the ministers that they put in place, to the breaking of bread to one another, and to praying together, will eventually fall apart. One of the best ways we can do this is first, not forsake, like I said, meeting with one another, and second is have this. And here's why I want to challenge some of you guys to help me on, because I need your help. All right? Yes, we have Sunday school classes here at IBC, but we don't have near enough to meet the needs of people that would like to have Bible study on Sunday morning of various generations of people. I would very much like to have a team of people that are sold out for Jesus Christ and that would love to have some home groups in within our body of believers of Christ. Those people that are interested in reaching the lost, those people that are interested in living life together, those interested that are wanting to break meals together, those interested that are that want to be praying together, praying for one another, those that want to live life and encourage one another. I need to know who you are. If you are interested in teach, if you have the gift of teaching, have the gift of leading, administration, serving, whatever it is, let me know, because I would love to be able to start implementing more of groups so people can be a part of life and living life together the way they need to a little bit better. Because in all reality, guys, I do believe this. I think we do not forsake meeting together. I think this is part of the discipleship making process. It just is. We come together as a body. But you also need to have some small groups that you can live life even better together. And if you would like to do that, let me know who you are. I would love to be able to do that with you. And we really need to get this going. You know, guys, my friends, I just can't say, hey, let's just do life groups and they get done. I can't say, hey, let's just do them and they miraculously get done. I need help, I'm going to say it again, implementing them, and I have I have to have a team in place that is really sold out to make them work. If this is you, let me know who you are. I want to be a part of that with you. So, here's another thing based upon scripture. We should be giving to others in need. And guys, if we had more Sunday morning Bible study classes together, more of that family time, more of home groups together, or if you just want to come here and have your group, that's how we really stay in touch with one another a lot more than we do in this kind of venue. You know, the Bible tells us to share generously with those in need. And the first thing, as I stated, that we need to share is this. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that needs to be shared first and foremost. You know, part of our helping is teaching those who can't fish to be able to fish. And then when you're teaching them fish, you're teaching them fish well, right? So then in turn, they can teach others to fish well. Guys, we are not meant to live a hard-hearted or self-centered life. That's not why we were created. This is never made clearer than in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. But a greedy life leads us lacking anything but an empty craving for more stuff, possessions, more power, and also more status. Guys, I could give you Bible verses for examples, but since I've got to move on, let me say this. Our good deeds should be motivated by a sincere desire to help others. Public recognition should not be the goal, right? Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, 1 and 2 states, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give it to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." So definitely we should be giving to others and teach them how to fish. Then another thing, we should be joyful and humble. All right, let me see some smile on your face because you're listening to all what I said. It says we need, even what I'm saying, we need to be joyful and humble about it, right? Right? Some of us lost, or it seems like we've lost that joy over the years based upon some kind of things that happen in life, the muck of life. Well, let me tell you something, guys. The muck of life happens. What are you going to do? Are you going to surrender to it? Or are you going to turn it over to God and gain more power from it to be able to use it according to his plan and purpose for your will? Guys, becoming a Christian and living the Christian life is the only life that gives the kind of joy, happiness, and hopefully humility we can be able to receive. Guys, lack of humility, and the abundance of selfishness is the reason so many relationships are broken today. It's true. And I know I harp on technology some, but cell phones hasn't helped with this, with authentic relationship. It hasn't. If anything, it's probably caused us to be a little bit more separated, right? Gone are the days, and call me old-fashioned, gone are the days of even picking up a phone and even calling. It's mainly texting, or pretty soon, it's going to be all emojis. So instead of words, all the emojis actually represent a certain phrase or a word or a meaning. So you can just type in about 10 emojis, and then you get your whole sentence right there. That's awesome, isn't it? What would happen, guys, really, what would happen in our homes, in our city, in this country, and around the world if Christians would live as if they really believed others were better than themselves? What kind of churches would we have today if, if we really looked at this right, others were better than us? Also, it says this, we should have favor with people, all right? We should have favor with people. You know, just maybe a healthy Christian community just might, all right, if you're healthy, might attract people to Christ. Just maybe, just saying. You know, the early church's passion for worship and love for each other was contagious. You can tell that. Man, it was contagious, man. It's possible that a healthy, loving church will grow spiritually and numerically just if we had that kind of contagious personality. But if we don't, if you're just going to surrender to the muck of life, to the crud of life, you're not going to be very contagious, right? You're just not. What are we doing? What are we doing to make God's church the kind of place that will attract others to Christ? Now, let me just put that a little bit more personal. When I say the church, who do I mean? Do I mean this building? Do I mean the methodology of it all? No. You, me, what am I doing? Make it personal. What am I doing, right, to attract others to Christ? How are we living the kingdom life daily? Are we surrendering to God's will or mankind's? Are we surrendering to God's will or all the stuff that we have on our agendas throughout the week to be able to get done? Do we spend time just complaining about someone else? What someone else is doing or not doing? Or are we really authentically trying to live the kingdom life daily? You know, there are a lot of things we can do to show favor to others, but based upon our schedules, we pretty much don't. Have a good attitude, even in the midst of storms of life. A lot of us don't do that. Sometimes I don't either. And guys, I will tell you, the things I'm preaching today applies to me. Some of us, and I get it at times, some of us have a stinky attitude, right? When going through the things of life, we don't do well with certain things in life, and we sure let others know about it. Sometimes we don't watch the tongue. It gets us in trouble a little bit. It has gotten me in trouble quite a bit in life. Ask my wife. She's sitting back there. And for those that really know me, guys, I typically don't sugarcoat things, or I don't beat around the bush. I will pretty much tell you, hopefully in a gentle and most kind and loving way I can, what's going on in my heart, what I think about things in life. I might even give you an opinion that I don't know anything about, but I still have an opinion about it, right? But anything, when we should have favor with people, we should encourage others and build each other up, not tear each other down. Right? Here's another thing. And this is the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll get into my final thoughts. It's almost time to go. We should not demand to have it our way. Guys, we are not Burger King. No offense. If this is on air, please, Burger King, do not take offense to this. All right? We live in a generation. It's crazy how many people take offense over something. You get what I mean by that? Have it your way, Burger King now, you know, okay. McDonald's was two all beef patty, special sauce, loaded cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun. That's good, by the way. Okay, squirrel. Jesus once said, if anyone would come after me, listen, now think about this. Now, this is, some of these words, just this little phrase right here, this is where some people turned and walked the other way. This is where some people said, I don't want that crud. No, I don't want that stuff. But if anyone would come after me, he must do what? What's it say? Deny himself. Then what? You said it. Take up that cross. Take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will then lose it. And this approach to life flies right in the face of our casual, customized church culture today. Right? It just does. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Jesus gave up his life to ransom us and saved us from a life of meaningless self-pursuit. He rescued us for heaven and for a true abundant life here on earth. So, how's it going for you with that abundant life here on earth? It shouldn't be a scary thing. It should be a rejoiceful thing. It should be a joyful thing. It's beautiful enough to make you want to worship God each and every day as you get out of bed. It's a beautiful, it's a precious thing that we should be able to want to do each and every day. But we don't. We don't. I don't. That's why we need to live life together. Right? That's why we need to call our brothers and sisters in Christ if they miss a Sunday and say, hey, man, I missed you. Everything okay? That's why we should even call when they're even here. We should be in touch with each other each week. We should have our families group that meets together each week. Right? To live life together. And you know what? If that's not your cup of tea, then I need to figure out, get with me, so we can figure out what it is. Is it coming from a man-made thing you want, or is it going to be coming from a God-centered thing that we should be doing? Whew. Guys, I've always thought that was an interesting way to recruit followers, but that's what Jesus chose to do. He didn't teach to fluff. He was honest. He was challenging. And made people think before they become Christ followers. Hey, I want you to think about this. This is what this is going to look like. Ooh, don't want that. Mm-mm, nope. Right? Maybe some of you that have been coming or even listening to this online, that are going to be listening to this online next week, maybe we need to rethink why you're coming or going where you are to attend services. What's that look like for you? Guys, let me tell you this. When it is a matter of doctrine, listen closely, I'm going to say this again. When it's a matter of doctrine, do it God's way. You're not going to go wrong with that, okay? Do it God's way. When it's a matter of opinion, okay, as long as it lines up with Scripture, okay, you might at a time or two do it your brother's and sister's way. And it doesn't have to be all about you all the time or me. That is the heart of selflessness. That is the heart of Christianity. So let me give you my final thoughts before we go into our last tune, our last song. Let me share with you a little reality of Jesus' ministry that wipes away this consumer-driven church culture. First of all, guys, Jesus met the needs of people. Jesus still meets the needs of people. Hungry people received bread. Blind people received their sight. Captives received freedom. People need community. They need an opportunity to encounter God in ways that are actually accessible to them. We shouldn't be afraid of being able to live the kingdom life out. What is holding you back? What is keeping you in the shadows? What is keeping us to really authentically living the book of Acts chapter 2 out authentically each and every day of our lives? Guys, there's a cure for the casual, customized church. We need to begin by taking the Word of God seriously and putting it into practice every day of our lives, not just when we feel like it, just when it suits our needs, but each and every day. And it begins by accepting this whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us God. The Word says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And the Bible also says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." And I said it again, what's the last part? Thank you. This is the first and greatest commandment right there. So how are we doing, IBC? How am I doing, Pastor Greg? How are we doing this? And again, guys, everything I said here, all right, just like a lot of these other guys that are called into full-time ministry, I don't have it all figured out. All I can do is go back to Acts chapter 2 and some other places in the Bible and say, all right, what did they do? What did they do? How in the world did they get 3,000 people saved that day? What was going on? What was happening? Could you imagine? I mean, 3,000 people were salvaged, so I don't know what I'm bad at math, but Ernie, what would be the percent of that happening based upon our population? That'd be a pretty big chunk, wouldn't it? Wow. And I don't care where you'd go, just go somewhere that's a Bible-believing church that teaches God's word authentically, right, and wants to live it out. Guys, when we begin to do even these simple things, like in Acts chapter 2, along with some serious prayer, right, and heart-rending repentance, right, of where we've been, kind of like some of the churches did in Revelation, we will begin to notice that our casual, customized church is starting to then disappear, to go away, right? How much more would it be if we did it God's way, right? So let's customize IBC then to be the church that Christ intended to be. Let's look more like the church of Acts than what we're trying to even do today. And a lot of our church culture is making it all about mankind, about our wants, our desires. And guys, I tell you what, sometimes we get our needs mixed up with what our wants. So spend time in prayer trying to figure out what those are and let God direct you to see what those truly are. Guys, I'm not going to have anybody come up and play today. There's an old, old song, and I know I'm somewhat an old school guy. But it's called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. This is a couple minutes long, and I don't even want you to stand unless you just want to. I want you to pray where you are. Come take a knee. I'm going to be taking a knee today. And I just want to go before God Almighty and say, God, basically this, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to ask you as a man of God, what can I do better to serve you? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better pastor? How can I be a better friend to you all? How can this church let this community of Salisaw know that when there is a need, we are here for them? How can we really authentically teach others that are in need to really, truly fish? That's what I want to be praying about this morning. And I want to be praying for some of you guys that may be gifted in leadership, in administration, in teaching, to take a knee with me this morning and actually to ask God Almighty and say, hey, I want to be able to help, be able to teach, to be able to lead, to maybe open my home up or anything like that. And if you're willing to do that, let me know who you are, because I'd love to be able to help at least be more of an authentic Acts chapter 2 church. Could you guys play that last song?